Do you remember what you thought whenever you found out, whenever they told y'all that they were going to close it?
I just trying to figure out what I was going to do. Or I was going to find me a job. And everything like that. How long I was going to have to wait before I found me a job. It was worth.
Were you pissed off or angry or?
A little of both, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just uncertain about what you're going to do, whether to try to find a job doing something else, go into a different field of work or what. Which, that's the closest plan. I've done a little, went back to construction work. You know, I always fall back on that, swinging a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got the job down at Craft Tea. I was out of work probably a year before I got the job down at Craft Tea. Sat back and drawed unemployment for a while. That's about all you could do.
Mm-hmm. Were you working any construction at the time that you were out of work?
Yeah.
Here and there.
I was doing a little construction, and I know a guy does, you know, some plumbing work on the side. I'd make a little money with him on weekends and during the week doing some plumbing work and stuff. No, you know, it wasn't like he's making a good payday a week, make just a few dollars here and there.
Mm-hmm. Were things pretty tight at that point?
Yeah. For you? We had even considered, you know, selling everything we had, moving back to Virginia, you know, where we could be around the family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided to stay. I was up in Warbler Firm in Virginia and everything. It ain't nothing but coal mines. Coal mines about like a furniture factory is in Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Hopeless case. Age of a dinosaur, you know. It's all coming to a cease.
How'd you get your job then down at Craft Teak?
You know, I knew the supervisor in the running machine room, which he was the assistant supervisor at the Hillsboro plant. He worked in Medvin too. And me and him were real good friends. He knew I was a good worker and everything. He sent word to Carlton Lane. We told Carlton Lane, which Carlton started down there. He'd been there a little better than 6 months now. And right at a year or something like that. And, he sent word to Carlton, if I want a job, come down there, put in an application.
Uh-huh.
And went down and talked to him. Went and took my drug test and all that. Passed my drug test, and they put me to work Monday morning.
So how long have you been working there?
Right at 2 months now. It's a good place to work for. All I do down there, the sand. I got like a turning lathe. You put the stock on there after it's been shaped. Got the different shapes on it and stuff. You hand sand it. Then you drill holes in like the bed posts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's what I do. Run like an air boring machine. Sand it, turn around, stick it in the boring machine, drill a hole in the bottom of it, put it on the truck, push it somewhere else for something else to be done to it.
You pretty much do the same job there at Craft Teak every day?
Yeah. Stand in one spot and sand.
Uh-huh.
It gets a little boring, but got me radio down there. It helps pass time by a little bit.
What, do you got a headset?
No, they let you have your radio right there. Yeah.
Did they do that at White's too? A lot
no,
of workers.
They won't let you have anything like that.
No radios, huh?
Mm-mm. If you wore a headset, they'd make you take and put it in your car or something like that. They wouldn't allow them in the plant.
Why was that?
I don't know. I just. One of the rules they always had ever since I was there. Didn't want you to enjoy anything out of it, I guess.
What other sorts of rules did they have at White's?
Point system.
Yeah. to write you up if you missed a certain amount of days and stuff like that. You know, when it comes to get your raise, you wouldn't get one or not hardly get anything. You get a nickel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted you to be there every day. If you didn't want, if you didn't work every day, they'd slowly ease your way out of there.
How'd they do that?
Just by that point system, it seemed like.
Uh-huh.
If you had to miss a lot of days, it didn't matter if you had a doctor's excuse or not. If you, even if you was sick, you miss a certain amount of days. Once you, they give you a verbal warning to start with, and then they write you up. Once you got wrote up three times, they'd fire you a lot of times.
They have rules about drinking soda or eating or smoking on the job?
They won't let you smoke or... By the time you got to get you a soda or anything, was that break time or eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't eat while you was working or anything like that. You know, they didn't want you to. You had to sneak and do it if you did.
Uh-huh.
But, at times you wouldn't even have time to, you know, to go to the bathroom. You had to get somebody to do your job, help you do your job while you went to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, hurry back as quick as you can, be backed up, stuff waiting on you. That's the way it was in the finishing room, anyway. Because they got that track set at a certain speed, where so much furniture comes down in an hour,
uh-huh.
So many pieces an hour. That's how they got the production, because they push that much out every day. Some people had easy jobs, other people had hard jobs. When I was compounding at the Hillsborough plant and stuff, you'd come out of there, you'd be black all over like you worked in the coal mines, because the oil that you used to put on the furniture, you had a buffer, air drive buffer, and it run 6,500 RPM. And you go to put that stuff on there, it'd sling it all over you and everybody standing around you. You had to put a wax on there to take the scratches out of it after it'd been sanded, then put an oil-based stuff to put the color back in it. And you had to compound it into it, made it shine and everything.
Uh-huh.
Which, like I said, that stuff was back-to-back, though, most of the time. Just some days you'd have it, they'd put them every 4 foot apart or something like that, but other days, if they had a lot of stuff to put out, they'd have them back-to-back. It was rougher when I first started there.
Was it? Did why was it rough?
Just the fact you had to work so hard like that.
Uh-huh.
So I got smart and I started catching on to doing different things. I said, well, I don't want to be doing this all my life, so I'm going to get smart and I'm going to start learning this other stuff. So during my breaks and stuff, I'd go see how things, they do other things, you know, catch on pretty quick. I started working my way out of that hole.
You mean out of finishing?
Yeah.
How did people treat you when you first went to work there today?
People treated you good and everything. Everybody wanted to know how come I moved all the way from Virginia to come down here to go to work in a furniture factory.
Uh-huh.
And it was just the fact I didn't want to go to work in no coal mines and be no rat, you know.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay on top of the ground, not down no 300 or 400 feet in it. Too many people getting killed in the coal mines. All the time rocks are falling on you, the coal falling out of the ceilings. Too many people. A lot of my families got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Uncles and stuff in the mines, which a lot of them has worked in there. 20 years not being hurt real seriously either. But there's all kind of times a cave in or something like that in the mines. Too dangerous.
I know that coal mining isn't even close to working in a furniture factory in terms of like the hazards of the job, but what sort of Were there any dangers on the job working at White's?
Just some of the machines, they be wore out or something like that. Or like running hand shaper, the only thing that's holding them blades in there is a big bolt. It's like sitting on top of a big machine, electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
And you got like a little head you put on top of her, and that's what holds the blades in the hand shaper. And I've heard stories of the older workers, some of them, one guy died, had a heart attack because one of the blades come out. And someone got through his hand or something. He had a heart attack right there on the job. That was at the Hillsborough plant. That was probably 7 or 8 years before I started there at the Hillsborough plant. He died right there on the job.
Hmm.
You can see places all over inside where it had slung the bits out of it and big holes in the wall and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Which they supposed to really have probably some kind of shields over them and stuff like that, and they didn't worry about them, nothing like that. They had a $20,000 life insurance policy on you, that's all they cared about. If you did get killed on the job, somebody would get some money.
Mm-hmm. Or people lose fingers or tips of fingers?
Yeah, Marvin Riley, he's got probably 3 fingers on each hand. He got joints of it missing off of him.
Mm.
Running that hand shaper. They put me on it every now and then, running table chair legs and table legs, stuff like that, hand shaping them out. But I'd be extra careful, make sure I wouldn't get my fingers down in there around it.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody else set it up. I'd just run it. I wouldn't mess with putting the blades in there. I'd let somebody else worry about that.
Was that dangerous, putting the blades in?
Not putting the blades in there, but you had to put them in there right, or they'd sling them out.
Hmm. Was there any problem with dust?
At times, the system would go down.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be something wrong with one of the motors and stuff, and you still have to be in there working, eating that dust. Or running the sander. I'd have to wear a mask all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I first started running sand and mahogany and stuff. And it'd be so dusty. If you didn't wear that mask, it'd still cover you up. Sanding that mahogany, because it's real soft wood,
mm-hmm.
real fine when you sand it and stuff. You'd have to blow yourself off with an air hose every few minutes because of the dust. The mask still, it said right on the mask, it still won't protect your lungs. It just keeps a certain amount of the dust from getting in your lungs.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the old timers have problems with breathing or stuff like that from getting sawdust in the lungs?
Yeah, most of them, well, they're working around them chemicals. A lot of the older guys had cancer and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
from the chemicals. That's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. But they don't say that, the company.
So my wife, she was working in the spraying furniture and stuff. She got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had lost a baby, and I think it was...
Because
of where she breathing the fumes and stuff. I still think it. It's the first time she got pregnant.
Hmm.
And when she got pregnant with my son, she went working in a furniture factory, and everything was all right. I still blame that on the damn chemicals and stuff.
Hmm. You were saying a while ago that they told you about the Hillsborough closing, same way that they sort of did like Mebane.
Right.
They got everybody together.
Right.
In a big room or a warehouse.
Yeah. Just let everybody know that they're going to shut the plant down. They wanted you to stay there and work until they closed the doors. Well, what it was, they'd finish up what furniture they had in there to run, all the parts and stuff, go ahead and keep on making it, and just close it down as it went through. After the machine, they'd keep certain ones on, you know, that knew how to run some of the machines. But they just let a few people go at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Till they got all the furniture out.
This was at Mebane, you're talking now?
Yeah. Mebane and Hillsboro were doing the same way. Starting like in the rough end, and once they got it machined out and everything, they let them go.
Do you remember when your very last day was?
Not really.
January 31st.
What, January 31st? I can't remember nothing like it. I just know I was out there.
Do you remember what you did your last day?
Same thing I did every other day, I just sanded. Just run the edge sander, then some mold sander, run a few parts. They let you work the whole day.
Do people stick to their jobs even though they knew it was their last day, or did they?
A lot of them walking around, stuff like that, you know. Not doing no more than they had to. Figured they'd done enough for the plant, I guess. Sticking in there all them years and stuff. Some of them been there 35 and 40 years. And then they just turn around and close the doors on. No bit, no nothing, you know. Which a lot of them they got paid, you know, a certain amount, some kind of, what's it called? They held a little bit of money out of your check each week for some kind of insurance. Some kind of insurance policy or something ahead. Some of them got probably $5,000 or $6,000. But I got $400-some. I think it just held like $1 a week out of your check. Something like an insurance coverage or some kind of something. I forget what it was. But a lot of them, they probably got, I've heard some people, they got like $10,000-$15,000. But they had been there like 35 years and stuff like that. You could have took it and put it in an IRA where you could, you know, have it for when you retired, or you could took it and cashed it. But the ones that got like $15,000 or $20,000, they wouldn't just write them a check. You'd have to fill out a form saying which bank you wanted your IRA in. And then if you wanted your cash, you had to go get it from the bank. Because, you know, they wouldn't write no check for no $15,000, $20,000.
Yeah.
Now, if it was less than $1,000, you know, they'd write you a check on that. They'd just send it to you in the mail.
I was going to ask you, do you remember how you told your wife that they were going to close the plant?
I just told her. That's the only thing you could do. Just told her they was going to close the plant down. They had to find me another job somewhere. Makes things hard when they close down like that on you. Seem like always something happens before you can get back on your feet, though. Where, like the old saying, where there's a will, there's a way. You just gotta find your way and have the will to do it. I considered going back to school or going to college and maybe, you know, trying to go into auto mechanics or something like that, you know, something. Or computer or something, you know, do you know that you'd have a job for the rest of your life? And I got to thinking maybe I was just too old to go back to school. All kinds of things running through my head. And it just depressed the hell out of me, not knowing, you know, where my next dollar was going to come from to pay my bills. Had to live, well, you know, they give you food stamps, stuff like that, but still, you can't make no money or anything. You can't work like no part-time job or anything, or you ain't gonna get nothing.
Yeah.
You gotta be totally out of work before you can have anything. And they send us a check, just enough to cover the rent, and we get food stamps. maybe you had a few dollars left to buy some gas for your car, but still you got car insurance and everything else you got to pay. I didn't have no choice. I had to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was working a little bit, doing that plumbing work, making, you know, a few dollars here and there to pay extra bills and stuff that come in. Well, after I got out of work and everything.
Did you get depressed when, during that time when?
Yeah, I drank a lot. Mm-hmm. Helped out a little bit. I guess that's just normal feelings.
Yeah.
Everybody gets depressed. Just hard times. World changes so much. Thank you. Yeah, the place where you might want to stay the rest of your life and retire from, and then they turn around and close the doors on you. You know, I like working for Whites because of the fact that it was pretty good pay and the people. But as far as the management of Whites and stuff, I didn't have much care for them. Just because of the fact the way they treated the people and stuff. They tried to treat you like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of try to treat you like a human being. Didn't care about how you felt or anything like that, or how hard you had to work. They just wanted you there every day and do that job.
How do you think Whites closing up on you affected you?
Hell, it affected me. It made me try to reevaluate my life, mm-hmm. figure out what I was going to do. I mean, making one set, get used to making that one certain amount of money every week, then you don't have no money coming in. It puts you in a state of shock, kind of like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's all you do is just sit there and think about what you did there at work, all your friends, stuff like that. Worry about how you're going to pay your bills. Think about what would have happened if they had stayed open.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Well, those are all my questions. Is there something that you didn't get to say, Jimmy, that you'd like to say that'll remain forever on the record?
Not that I can think of. I think about covered everything.
Well, I appreciate you doing the interview. You had a lot of great stuff there.
All right.